The tax treatment of derivative contracts is set out in Part 7 of CTA 2009. A derivative contract is defined as either an option, futures, or contracts for differences, or CFDs as they are commonly known. A contract for differences is where profit is made from fluctuations, either in the value or price of property, as set out in the contract, or variation in a particular index, for instance, a share index. We will look at these types of contracts later on in this series of lectures. Let us now turn to the definition of a derivative. A derivative contract must be a relevant contract, as defined in Part 7 of CTA 2009. Relevant contracts are those treated as financial derivatives in the company's accounts. International Accounting Standard 39 defines a derivative as a financial instrument or other contract with the following three characteristics. Its value changes in response to a change in a specified interest rate, FI price, commodity price, foreign exchange rates, index of prices or rates, credit rating or credit index, or other variation, provided in the case of a non-financial variable that the variable is not specific to a party to the contract. It requires no initial investment or an initial net investment that is smaller than would be required for other types of contract that would be expected to have similar response to changes in market factors, and it is settled at a future date. Let us turn to the exclusions, i.e. contracts which are not derivative contracts for the purposes of tax legislation. Contracts where the underlying contract subject matter consists wholly or partly of any of the following items will not be treated as derivatives under Section 589 CTA 2009. A. Certain shares. B. Unit trust holdings. C. Intangible fixed assets. Let us turn our attention now to determining the underlying subject matter. Firstly, looking at an option contract. This will be the property deliverable on exercise of the option. Where the property deliverable on exercise is in fact another derivative contract, for instance, another option or a future, then we turn to the subject matter of that contract in determining the underlying subject matter of the option in question. Turning to a future. The underlying subject matter of a future is a property deliverable at the date specified in the future contract. Again, where the future contract delivers yet another derivative contract, we look to the subject matter of that contract in determining the underlying subject matter of the original future. With regard to CFDs, i.e. contracts for differences, we turn to the value or price of the property described in the contract, or the matter by which the index or factor is calculated. For instance, if we are looking at a share index, then the underlying subject matter of the particular contract will be shares. Firstly, we look at the purpose of the transaction. Why has the company entered into this derivative contract? If this is for trading purposes, then we take all the debits and credits as defined for P&L account purposes. Debits will, of course, be losses or expenses, and credits will be gains or incomes. As we tax trading income as part of the trade profit calculation, then the tax treatment of loan relationships, gains and losses, and derivative contracts follow the same rules, in that a debit will be a trading expense, and a credit will be trading income. There will therefore be no need to make any adjustments in the tax computation, as the amount that has already been charged or relieved in the accounts will be allowable or chargeable as part of the trade profit calculations. However, if the transaction has been entered into for non-trading or other purposes, then we look at slightly different rules. Again, we determine all the debits and credits arising on the appropriate transactions, and we pool them together in a non-trading debits and credits pool. What drops out of the bottom will either be a net debit or a net credit. Where we are dealing with a net credit, we have received more than we have paid, and therefore we tax the balance as non-trade profits on loan relationships. Where, however, we have paid out more than we have received, we have effectively created a non-trade deficit. Let us now take a look at debits and credits. Debits and credits are amounts computed in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP. Note that for accounting periods beginning on or after the 1st of January 2005, this will include compliance with international accounting standards where appropriate. The rule is that the amounts to be brought in are those recognized in determining the profit or loss for the period. The definition of amounts recognized includes the statement of recognized gains and losses, a statement of changes in equity, or any similar statement, such as an equity account. Prior year adjustments will be brought in, but not any fundamental errors. Amounts taken to fixed assets or share premiums can be brought in, provided they have not been recognized in calculating the profit or loss. The Treasury has made regulations set down in Statutory Instrument 2004, number 3256, commonly referred to as the disregard regulations. The regulations state, when changes in fair value of certain derivative contracts are to be brought in for tax purposes. All derivatives are classified under International Accounting Standard 39 as held for trading, thus are accounted for using fair value.